Our time of worship and hearing the word, breaking the bread of the word. But I hope you don't think that this is worship with the songs and the instruments. The worship begins in your heart, submitting to the Lord, magnifying His holy name in your heart. And it can happen here. It can happen on I-75 while you're driving, on your job, you have a break. Just acknowledging His presence and thanking Him for who He is. We praise Him. We pray over our service. Ask God to move in a mighty, special way. Oh, Father. Our Father, I ask You to move today here in this place. On Nelson Road, here in this place in Georgia, may Your name be magnified. And we thank You for the sacrifice that You gave, giving Your Son's life. And we thank You for the blood He shed, wash away every guilt and stain. If we said or done anything that does not please You, since the time we got together, please forgive us. Please forgive us. And may we hear Your word with open hearts. May we bless Your name with open hearts. Oh, we thank You. Oh, we thank You, our God. Our God, You are our God, a great God. We praise You, our God, the only God, whose name is above every name. We praise You, our God, bless You, our God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise
Bring God come. Turn this thing around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Changes everything. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around.
Just a few more minutes. Oh man, God help us not to stop at the last minute. You got someone in live stream, I'm pleading with you, hang in there for one more hour, one more minute. Faith is just holding on. You may not see the answer right away, but just hang on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me
Daily I'm constrained to thee. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you.
closer to you, Jesus. Draw me close, closer to you, my God. I'm letting go of things I know that keep me back from you. I'm letting
stand in the presence of the Holy God. Scripture reading today is from Psalms 148, 1 through 6. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
From the heavens.
Praise him
in the heights.
Praise him,
all his angels.
Praise him,
all his hosts.
Praise him,
sun and moon.
Praise him,
all the stars of light.
Praise him,
you heavens of heavens.
And the waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord,
for he commanded them
and were created.
He also established them forever and ever,
and he made a decree
which shall not pass away.
Amen.
Dismiss
our children.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. If I know we have some visitors, want to welcome them this morning. We also sent out an email this week, so I hope you guys are following your emails. I know some of you don't. That's okay. We'll get surprised. If you don't get out your emails, a lot of times you get a surprise when you get here. This morning we are going to do something a little different than what we normally do. I'm going to give the message this morning. Our message this morning is about giving praises to the Lord. Many times we don't take that to heart. Even as believers, it's so hard sometimes to give God praise for something good, because somehow we manipulate it to where look what we did, look what we accomplished, look how this. But when you're really in a relationship with God, you can come to the place where you understand that His hand is in everything, and He's guiding every step. So we need to praise Him. So at the end of the message this morning, the worship team's going to come back up, and as you feel led by the Holy Spirit, emphasize by the Holy Spirit, we've got a microphone down front, and you'll have about 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes. I don't have a timer. I was going to bring a timer because I know some of you, but I didn't. Are we working?
You're working.
Okay. But I didn't, we have a timer. That was what he was holding up. He was holding up a timer. But, you know, we want to have everybody give a chance. But, you know, we don't want a long lull. Now, you will be live streamed. I want you to make sure you understand that. And a lot of people get all nervous about that. Now, you don't have to be nervous about it. If you're praising God, let the whole world hear it.
Amen.
Because people need to hear. There's a lot of people that follow us that are out of state or even out of the country. And they need to hear what God's doing in our lives, particularly here in the United States. Because if they're not seeing God move in the body of Christ here, then, you know, a lot of times that plants doubts. And, well, why are they doing what they do? Why do they have church? Why? Look, nothing's happening. God is moving. He's moving among us. He's moving among His people. So I want you guys to feel free to come down and give a testimony. Make it fairly current. I'm not talking about back in 1963. I was only 3 years old by then. But, you know, give a current testimony if God is blessing you, or just answer a prayer. Just giving you an encouragement, you just have a strong word from the Lord that He's given you His strength and through the midst of turmoil or whatever it is. You know, we want you to have that opportunity to share. So our title is Give Praises to the Lord. So Father, we ask this morning that you receive our praise as we give our praise to you, because Lord, you are the one who deserves all praise, all glory, all honor, All praise belongs to you. And so in the name of Jesus, we come right now just asking, Lord, that you speak to our hearts regarding praise. And bring us into this place, Lord, to where we're willing to praise you in the midst of every circumstance. Because the circumstances come and go, but you last forever. And you are in us, so therefore we have the eternal in us. And we can depend upon you, and we can praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was watching John Lennox this week. I occasionally go listen to some of his, you know, he's the famous mathematician with Oxford University that he's standing against basically the whole system, the educational system. Majority of the professors that he knows are atheists, and he debates them. And one thing that he said was, he said, listen, he said, we're not called to a silent faith. We're called to project our faith, to stand for what we believe. And that doesn't mean you come out with a baseball bat in an argumentative mode, but what it means is that you're coming, standing on the truth of Jesus, standing on the truth of his word. And when you come into situations and somebody wants to get into your face or just discuss these things, be prepared in season and out of season to stand upon God's word. We don't have to flee from it. And our culture, here's the thing. Our culture has given us fear. And it's in all aspects of our lives. I remember when it was in full effect already. When my youngest kids, now they're now 26 or 27, they're in their 20s. Don't ask me to nail it down. I can't ever remember these things. But when they were little, they were in a soccer league over here at one of the local churches. It was church, little soccer league. No scores. Can't have any scores because that might hurt somebody's feelings because they lost and you won. Well, I can promise you this, the parents were keeping score. We were all keeping score. Way to go, you know, you got that, yeah, you knock him down. No, you didn't do that. This was church league. An old comedian once said, he wrote this song, it's something about church league baseball or softball, something washed in the blood on a Friday night, you know, because they always get into fights. All of them were fighting. The church leagues were fighting one another. It's crazy. But my point that I'm making here is that we're not called to be isolated. And I know that some can't come to church, and this is by no means speaking to those who can't come for whatever reason. It's speaking to those who have come to this conclusion that it's just too hard. It's easier for me to be a Christian at home. It's easier for me to be a Christian by myself. No, it's really not. You may think that because you're avoiding certain conflicts or certain confrontation, but trust me, your isolation leaves you vulnerable. It leaves you vulnerable to the enemy. We're not called to be isolated. Early on, God said it's not good for man to be alone, so he created woman. And we've had, I won't say conflict ever since, but we've had wonderful relationships with our spouses, and God has given us everything that we need in relationships. And it's also said that you're wounded in relationship. Johnny, quit laughing. You're making me laugh. You're wounded in relationships. God uses relationships for healing. When we're in Christ in unity with him, it brings us into unity. So we need to be together. But how does this all relate to praise? Well, if you have something that God's doing in your life and you're not sharing it with people, then you're isolated with that. It's great, but it's just the emotion or feeling of it kind of wears down, and then you just kind of settle back down. But when you're able to share that praise, when you're able to communicate what God is doing in your life, it's important. And more than ever in our culture, we need to be standing for positive. We need to be standing for the truth. We need to be standing for what God is doing and who he is, and not let that fear that's been generated hold us back from that praise. Public praise is good. Public praise and worship is good, and we need to have a heart available for that. So with that in mind, a couple of 3 weeks ago, the Lord just kind of spoke to me, said, you know, you might want to do a time for praise, for people to come and give praise and, you know, just what he's doing in his life. Give that opportunity for people. And that was in the back of my mind, and then Actually, Danny, if you don't mind me mentioning, it came up to me last Sunday out of the blue, said, hey, you know, I've got a couple of things I want to share that God's doing, some praise reports. Would I be able to do that? And it's like the timing was just, that was the perfect confirmation. It's time to do it. So that's why we're going to do that this morning. So you probably saw it in your email. We're going to take the time to do this. Again, we have the microphone down front. I want us to really, you know, consider our thoughts as we come down and give God praise for who He is and what He's doing in our lives. But before we get to the time of sharing, I want to look at God's Word regarding praise and thanksgiving and show the importance of it independently, individually, and corporately. We're going to start in Luke 19, 37 through 40. Then as He was drawing, this is speaking of Jesus, as He was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But He answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, Jesus is God. He's the Son of God, but He is God. And what He's really saying here is God is among you. And if the people are silenced, His creation itself would praise Him. See, He spoke it all into existence. What we see, what we recognize in the world was spoken by Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word spoke it into existence. It would not be except for Him. And so what He's saying here is, listen, I created all things. Man is special in God's eyes. He created him differently from all the other creation. He created him differently from all the other animals. All the other animals walk in instinct. They instinctively do what they do. If you notice a cat that's in your neighborhood and they just wander around, they do what they want to do. But when they see people, they skedaddle. They scoot. Deer, same thing. They have a sense of, I don't know what that is, or I know that's an enemy. I'm out of here. And they won't stay very long. They'll take off. They'll skedaddle. They instinctively know when it's time for mating season. They know when it's time to go to bed. They know when it's time to eat. They know all of these things. But for them, they instinctively do them. For us, God created something different. He gave us a conscience and a mind to make choices. Willing choices. He gave us free will. And in that free will, He says, listen, I created you for relationship. I created you to be with me. That was the way it was in the beginning, in the garden. We were together with God. It was like a communication, a daily thing. He would walk with them and talk with them. In the cool of the day, He would walk with Adam and Eve. But in that, He gave them free will. And in that free will, the praise went to God when they were obedient and walking with Him in communication. When they broke that covenant, when they broke that communication, they broke it, He didn't. By disobedience, then sin entered the world. But He still gave us a way. He Himself went to that cross. And again, it's been said, well, why does God allow all the stuff in the world if He's a good God? If He really is who you say He is and He's a loving, merciful God, why does He allow all this evil in the world? It's because of His love for man himself that He gives him free will to make a choice, just like He gave Adam. Mm-hmm. Choose me above all of this stuff. And then the question arises, well, why am I here? Many people have that question. And for atheists, there are no answers. There are no answers for an atheist. Why? Because they don't believe in morality in the sense of that it comes from God. They believe in natural whatever. Something comes from nothing. So therefore, if you come from nothing, you go back to nothing. So there's no hope after the end of this world. And so the questions arise. Well, why am I here? And it was said this way, because God wants you here. God wants you here. Now, you say, well, if he wants me here, why is it so painful? It's because of the sin in the world that is around us. The sin of the world, we do face that. The consequences of that sin affect us today, but it does not control us. It does not make us who we are. We are who we are in Christ. He wants you to be where you're at, but he wants you to be where you're at in him. And because he entered the world, God himself intervened in the evil that man brought. He's not a distant God. It's not paying attention. He himself went to the cross. God died on that cross for you and for me. And what more do we need to praise him for? Well, you don't understand my circumstance. I may not. And I know circumstances are hard. This world brings difficult circumstances. But if God loved us enough to intervene and become part of us, became one of us, and then God himself died on that cross, what does that mean? It means that he didn't stay distant. He is now entered into the equation. He entered into the suffering. He was suffering for us. He suffered for us. Took our suffering, eternal suffering, away. And so that's something that we can praise him for. And what he said in this passage here in Luke 19 is like, listen, if you don't praise me, or I shut up these people, what's left except what I created, it will rise up and praise me because I created it. And I am God. Now, in context with this passage, this was when Jesus rode in Jerusalem on the donkey. It was 1 week before he was crucified. All the voices praise you, you know, praise God, hallelujah. And the Pharisees, that was really what sealed Jesus' fate, to be honest with you. They were already trying to kill him before that point. They wanted to. But now what they're seeing is they're seeing this man in their mind that's receiving praise that should be going to God, and they couldn't handle it because they missed him as their Messiah. But they were gathering, praising him for all the wonderful and mighty works that he's done for them up to this point. Many had been healed. Many had demons cast out. And some were raised from the dead. And they're praising him. Or their families were praising him. The scriptures speak volumes regarding praising God for his mercy and his love. Psalm chapter 9 verse 1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And again, thanksgiving goes hand in hand with praise. Psalm 150, 1 through 6, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I can go on and on with scripture after scripture regarding praising God. All of the patriarchs praised him. They worshiped him. Abraham worshiped God. Jacob, Isaac, they worshiped God. David worshiped God. Now David also fell into a horrible sin. But he also repented. See, this is the wonderful thing about God. God brings you to a place in our lives when we sin. He brings us to that crossroads. Are you going to repent or are you going to cover it or try to deny it or whatever? Maybe even in your own way, rationalize it. And he put that before David, and David repented. And because he repented, and he knew God, and he worshiped God, it said of him that he's a man after God's own heart. Not said of King Saul, who didn't praise God, who didn't do the things that God called him to do, but said that he did. In his mind, he accomplished what God told him to do, but he never did. He never accomplished it. He half did it, and then blamed the people, or even blamed Samuel when things weren't done. But thinking of what he has done for us, he delivered us from darkness to light, from death to life. And if we never receive anything else from him, it should be enough. It should be enough for us to praise him. It should be enough for us to worship him for who he is. We can be on the mountain and praise him. But what about the valley? Should we not be praising him in the valley as well? See, God doesn't move. God doesn't just pull us up on... Norman, can you go back and help him in the back, please? God is a God who is consistent. God is a God who doesn't change. God is a God who we can worship no matter what we feel. See, here's really what we have to come to understanding. Feelings don't dictate our worship. They shouldn't dictate our worship. Feelings will change. Feelings will come and go. Emotions will come and go. You can be high right now and then get a bad word or something from somebody or hear something, and all of a sudden our feelings or our emotions change immediately. But does that change who God is? No. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's also the same in us consistently. Even though there are times when things feel bad for us, it should not change the whole fact that our relationship with God is not rooted in the emotion. It's rooted in the relationship, in the reality of who God is. And so, therefore, what we have to come to in our relationship with God is that it is not about what we feel, it's about who he is. And he is consistently in our corner. He is in us. He's with us. And so we need to make sure that we keep our eyes on him and praise him no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the moment is. Because otherwise we can get ourselves in a really big, bad situation when we're dependent upon our feelings. Because they will lie to you. They will lie to you. The reason the world is so confused and delusional, if you will, is because they deny God, even though he's visible in all of his creation. Now, I'm not saying he is all of his creation. That is a lying belief. God is not a tree. You don't go worship the tree because God is the tree. No, but God created the trees. We worship the creator, not the creation. But in Romans 1, 20 through 22, it tells us this: for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him or praise him, worship him as God, nor were they thankful. They had no thanksgiving, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. This is the world. This is what the world looks like. This is why the world is so chaotic and confused. And you can look at it and you can say, well, it's this political group that did it. It's this group that did it. It's this. No. Those groups are all part of the world. It's the worldview. It's the denying of Jesus Christ and who he is, and denying of God as a whole, that has created this disillusion, this whole aspect of they see things, but they deny God in things, so therefore he doesn't exist, therefore they do what they want to do. And what was it in Judges? I believe it said they were doing what was wise and right in their own eyes. And every time man does what's right in his own eyes, it brings trouble. It brings problems. And then you have, you know, political leaders that say, well, we need to pass this law and that will solve the problem. No, it won't. Because the first thing that happens when you create a law to deal with a sin problem, the law usually gets out of balance itself and creates another problem. And so now you have to create another law because of the first law. You got to create another law. And then you create another law. Well, none of that works. That's just like going to the doctor and you get on a particular medication. I'm not saying you need it or don't need it. That's not the point here. But many times when you get on medication, what happens? You have to get on another medication for the side effects of the first medication. And then you have to get on another for that side effect and another. And next thing you know, you walk in and you're a walking pharmacy. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need medication. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not saying that anybody should come off their medication. That's not at all what I'm saying. My point here is this. Man cannot ultimately fix man's sin problem. Sickness came from sin. Now, I'm not saying the devil's in every sickness, and if you have enough faith, you'll be healed. I'm not claiming that. I'm not a name it, claim it guy. Sometimes God allows sickness for His purpose and His glory. Because if you're walking with Him and you're praising Him in the midst of whatever you're going through, whether it's sickness or hardship, emotional, physical, and you're worshiping Him in the middle of that, what happens? People are seeing that. People are watching that. He's touching other hearts and using you in the midst of it. So we don't sit here and grab hold. Well, you just need to pray enough and you don't have enough faith. You're strangling the people, telling them they don't have enough faith when you don't know why God is doing what He's doing. It may not be a sin issue in their life. It may not be a faith issue in their life. It may be simply the fact that we're dealing with the consequences of the original sin. And we're all destined to die unless Jesus returns. Period. He didn't say how that was going to happen. Natural causes? What are natural causes? The body gets old and can't function anymore. That's it. That's because of the original sin. Wasn't God's plan. Wasn't His original design. But because He intervened with Jesus and came into our lives and into, we now have Him with us as we go through the rest of this natural realm to enter into the spiritual realm eternally. And that's a promise that we have, and we have a hope, and we can praise Him for that. We can praise Him for that. Praise and thanksgiving is not only appropriate, but it's necessary. It's necessary in order to keep Him, Jesus, the center of our lives. Because if you're not praising God, no matter what your circumstance, you know what you're doing? You're focusing on your circumstance. You're focusing on yourself. Then you begin to, well, why am I having to go through this? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this pain and this suffering? Why did this happen to someone that I love? Why? And we begin to focus. And that why question never gets answered. And as long as we focus on that instead of the who is with you when you're going through this? Who went to that cross for you? Who has given you eternal life? Who has given you peace in the midst of a bad situation? Who has given you the love, the joy, the peace, the wonderful things of the fruits of the Spirit? Who? It's Jesus. And He's the one we're supposed to be focusing on, not the circumstances or the reason for the circumstances or the why I'm doing whatever or getting this and all this is going on. That should not be our focus. It's very difficult not to do these things because of our fleshly nature. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to go through difficult times. But God wants to be the center of our lives, whether it's where we're on the mountain or whether we're in the valley. Otherwise, again, we find ourselves more focused on ourselves and our storms, and we lose that peace, the peace that Philippians speaks of in chapter 4. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, these scriptures are given to us specifically for us to understand that when we're going through difficult times, which we will, it's unavoidable. I don't care how much faith you have. It's unavoidable for you to not deal with hardships in this world, because that's what's in this world. We're in it, we're not of it, but we're still affected by it. Doesn't mean it affects our relationship with God. Doesn't mean it affects our eternity. Doesn't mean anything about those things, but we are still dealing with things, and it's there that we find that peace that surpasses all understanding when we are in Christ. How can we be anxious for nothing? How can you even read that scripture and in your fleshly nature make it work? I wake up anxious. I go to bed anxious sometimes. The anxiety that many of us deal with is genetic. Some of it's habitual. Some of it's neurological. But when you read that scripture, you say, but God, I can't do that. And he says, I know you can't. That's why I went to the cross. That's why I live in you. That's why I need to come into you and live through you, because I'm going to give you that peace. You're not going to find it on your own. You're not going to find that you can do anything without me. That's the relationship. So praising him for who he is, no matter what the circumstances, it keeps us hidden away. It keeps us hidden away from the enemy during these trials and tribulations. And that's the wonderful part that we have in our relationship with Jesus. He does all the work. He's already taken all the pain. He's taken all the suffering. He's taken the death, the penalty that we deserved. He's taken all that. Now what he was saying is, listen, this dark world that you live in is ugly, but I'm going with it, with you through it. I'm going in it. I'm not going to leave you alone in this. I've already accomplished the end. Now I want to accomplish the day-to-day. And the day-to-day is praising him, no matter what the circumstances, because he will hide us away. Colossians 3, 2 through 4 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, man, what a hope that is. But listen to this. You died. We're sitting in much among dead people up here and in our flesh. But we're more alive than anyone in the world because we have Christ in us who gives us life. And it's not just the eternal life. It's the daily life. It's the moment by moment life. It's everything that we are life. This is who God is. We're hidden away from the enemy. We are hidden away in Christ. We're hidden. But when he appears, our life will also appear with him in glory, because we're only dead to the fleshly nature. But now we're alive to the spiritual man. We're alive to who and what God is. So when we choose to praise him and come with a heart of thanksgiving, we see him moving on our behalf. We can see tangible things that happen, and we can know it's him. I can promise you this, many times things will happen in our lives, and we don't give God immediate praise for it because, oh, well, that just sort of fell into place over here. Or that circumstance changed and this is why it worked out in my favor. Or if you go before the court and the court rules in your favor, oh, yeah, that was. But listen to me. God is behind every one of those steps. He's behind every one of those things. And he's ahead of all of them as well. He's behind them, he's in them, and he's ahead of them. And so nothing surprises him. This can carry us back to our book of Esther and our study on Wednesday nights. If you haven't followed any of those, I encourage you to go listen to them online. We stream it on the second and fourth Wednesday. But that's an interactive study, which means you have the chance to actually chime in, and we talk, and we discuss the scriptures as we go through. It's a wonderful time. And this coming Wednesday, we'll be coming back to it again. But when you go into the book of Esther, God is never mentioned by name through the whole book. But yet every certain point that happens in that story is God directed. Every single one. He put Esther with Mordecai because her parents had died. Mordecai raised her as she was a child up. He was a father to her. Just happened to be that way when they were taken into captivity. Just happened to be that when Queen Vashti did what she did and she was then exiled, that she was just happened to be in that particular place at that particular time. Just happened to be. And you can go through every single scenario, through every part of that book, and you can see God moving, and yet his name wasn't mentioned. But Mordecai knew him. Mordecai fasted. Mordecai went into a place of grief and mourning. He understood that he served a holy God. What he didn't understand is how God is going to work all this out. All he knew is this is what we have to work with. And he presented what she should do. She responded. God was in all of that. Even to the little detail of the king, the last study we had, couldn't sleep at night. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. Wake up. Agitating him. And what did he do? He called for all of the chronicles to be read to him. Now, that would put anybody to sleep, wouldn't it? Bring out all the chronicles of all the history, and you read it to me so I can fall asleep. That was why he called for it. And what did they do? They opened to the very place where Mordecai himself had honored the king and actually turned in those who were plotting against him. Anyway, I don't want to, you can go read the whole story, but my point here I'm making is that God is in the details. He's in every aspect of life. And so therefore, he is moving on our behalf even when we can't see it. They didn't see him moving. They didn't know that Mordecai, I'm sure by that point, knew that the gallows had been made. Word travels. He would have been hung that day, except God intervened. So what I'm telling you here this morning is that God moves and his presence is with us through answered prayers and through other ways that he speaks to our hearts through his word. I believe this is where we see the healing, when you're praising him, when you're worshiping him. I believe it's when we see the deliverance from drug and alcohol and other devices or other vices. I see this as when we and where we find the freedom in our innermost being. So we're walking in him, not in ourselves and in our own minds. It's also where we come to realize that even though he doesn't answer prayers always in the way we thought he should or even would, his answer is always the right answer. And it's for our good. See, we have to remember we're praying to a God who's outside of our finite perspective. He's way beyond what we can hear, see, think, feel, touch, taste, all of it. He's way outside of all of that. But he's in us. The outside, he's directing the steps. The inside, he's given us the peace to trust him while he's directing the steps that we don't necessarily see happening. But he's in control. If you can't come to the understanding of the place of realizing that God is always in control, then you're always going to have doubts. You're always going to be doubting, well, will he? How? What? And you wind up into this place of fear and panic when in reality God is saying, listen, don't go there. Wait on me. I am moving on your behalf and I will see it through. And I'll see you through. But again, his ways are not our ways, nor his thoughts our thoughts. So therefore, as he's working, it may not end up the way we thought it should. There's an old country song that said, thank God for unanswered prayers. Y'all remember that old song? You know? I mean, think about it. If you wound up, if you got everything you prayed for as a teenager or a younger person in life, where would you be? You look back on some of those situations, maybe it was an individual. Ah, that was the one for me. That was the one for me. And you look at it now and say, praise God he didn't give me that one. Well, they may be saying the same thing about you, but you know. I look in the mirror and I say, my gosh, Lord, I don't know how you even gave me the wife I have, but I praise you for it. And I praise you for her, and I praise you for all that you've given me. And I praise you for the day I can wake up and breathe, and I praise you for the air I breathe. I praise you for everything, because if you had given me what I thought I wanted, I would probably be dead by now. Because I couldn't have handled the good things, and some of the bad things would have torn me up. But that's what I thought I wanted. I've never shared this before, but it's kind of I don't know why I just feel led to share it. But when I was a teenager, I met a girl. And, I mean, I was all in for this girl. Her name was Aubrey. You all know her or knew her. I had the biggest crush that I ever had on anybody. And she was a Christian woman. But I thought that I mean, in my mind, and of course I wasn't walking with the Lord. I was going to church. I was actually asking God for things, but I didn't understand the relationship with God. And I really thought she was going to be for me. I remember this. This is as clear as a day. I was driving down the road and I was in that mindset, oh God, you know, give me a sign. Give me a sign. Is it going to be her? And I'm driving down the road, and this freight line comes by, Aubrey Freight Line. And in my mind, that's my confirmation. It wasn't hers. Never did happen. She never saw me in that way. God had other plans for her life. She since, unfortunately, passed. She passed with cancer not too long ago. What, 2 or 3 years ago? Something like that. And we lost touch. But the point I'm making here is that I was so intent on it being what I thought God wanted for me. She was a Christian. I thought I was. I didn't really understand what Christianity was in the sense of a relationship. I was still under that whole mindset that if you do this, I'll do that. I'll do this if you do this. I mean, that kind of a manipulating type God thing. And I also was in that mindset that I had to get resaved every week because it didn't seem to take when my mind went down this way and I would fall into this area or I'd fall into that area. Well, God, this obviously is not working right like me, so I need to go back down and do it again. Maybe I need to get baptized again. Maybe. And so it was it wasn't a relationship. It was religion. It was a false religion in my own mind, putting God into the box that I thought he was. And then I realized later on in life as I went through a horrible situation that God met me there and said, listen, now I want you to understand who I am in relationship. And from this day forward, you can praise me. You can praise me because you are eternally secure. You are in Jesus. You are in me. You're abiding in me. I no longer have to walk in that fear of, did I lose it because I did this? Did I mess it up? You know, I can never go to heaven because I did that. It's not about any of those things. It's about walking in him and he living in you. And when all of that is happening the way it's supposed to, you get that peace of God. And when you do have a situation where you may fall or slip, God then meets you right there and says, listen, you didn't lose anything. You just turned away from me. Turn back to me and we'll restore this. And we're going to go forward again. How we can praise God for those things. Yeah, I went through some bad stuff. And everything that I thought I wanted, I didn't get. I don't think it would have been bad if God had worked that out with her. I think she was a godly woman. But that wasn't what God had for me. And what he has for me is what I have today. And I'm a blessed man. You're blessed men. Women, you're blessed women in God. You're blessed, not because of the spouse that you have. Well, that's between you and God on that one, but you're blessed because God is with you in your relationships. And if you're married to a Christian woman, or for the man and for the woman, if you're married to a Christian man, he's working in both of you to bring you both closer to him. And, of course, that's not always easy, is it? Because we still have that fleshly side that creeps up. Well, I think we ought to do this. No, that's not what I feel we should do. But I know this is right. No, that's not what. And you have to work those things out. But even in that, God reveals himself through humility. Because sometimes we have to say, you're right. That wasn't what God wants us to do. For man, that's hard. And it's not easy for women either. But men, I think, carry that pride a little higher
With a man. We have to make the right decision. Woman?
No.
Now, in the Bible, Jesus called his mother woman. I know that's not what it meant then, but think about it today in our culture. You know, woman? Man, if my daddy ever heard me say that to my mama, I probably wouldn't be here today. But in all of these circumstances, in all of these things in our lives, it's when we come to realize that even though he doesn't answer the prayer the way we thought he would, his answer is always right. And he sees all, he knows all, and we can trust in his foreknowledge. And that foreknowledge expands beyond this life into the eternal. His foreknowledge is today saying, okay, don't take that step. Turn around, come back, look at me, focus on me. Don't let the circumstances pull you down. Don't let the anxiety suck you in. Don't let the depression grab a hold of you and hang on to you, you know, because we all have struggles. He wants to meet us right there where we're at. He doesn't want that to control us, and he's with us going through those things moment by moment and day by day. But then it expands to the eternal. He also sees us where we are in him, in heaven with him. Already he sees it. He knows it, and it's an accomplished thing. All we have to do is stay with him here and praise him and give him thanksgiving for who he is as we go through. See, the thing is, we're going to live with him forever, and that outweighs the difficulties, and it also outweighs the blessings. The blessings that we're going to see there are going to outweigh any blessing we see here, and it's going to outweigh all the suffering that we see here. Romans 8, 17 through 19 says, and if children, which we are, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That revealing is coming. That revealing is coming to each one of us individually, but it's also going to come complete and total as a whole when Jesus comes and returns and deals with things the way they're going to be dealt with, when the wrath of God is poured out upon this earth. And all of that is settled and all of that is done. These glories, these eternal glories, we're going to be right in the middle of them. That's a great place for us. So when we begin to praise him for who he is and all of his attributes, we're drawing closer to him. See, praise brings you closer to God. It takes your eyes off yourself. It takes your eyes off your circumstances. It brings you closer to him. And then in turn, it draws him closer to us. James 4, verse 7, the first part of verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. There's the first part. See, here's the thing about Scripture. You got to keep it in context, and you got to make sure you're looking at the whole picture. Many people will just say, resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. That's not what this says. This says, submit to God. Submit to God. If we don't do that, then you can resist all day long, but the devil's not going to flee from you, because he knows you haven't submitted. See, Satan, he's not all-knowing, but he's a pretty smart being. And he's got a bunch of demons. And he sends them out watching and waiting for us to do or say something that he knows that you're not submitted to God in. And therefore, he moves on that. Now, can he control us? No. I do not believe he can control a Christian. I do not believe he can enter into a Christian and manifest in a Christian. But he can sure oppress. And he does a lot of oppression based on our own actions. Based on our own ways of not submitting to God, he comes in and manipulates the situation to where it keeps us. All he wants to do is keep us from submitting to God. And for some, it's not too hard. With all the distractions we have around us today, he doesn't have to bring a hardship necessarily to distract us. And he's happy distracting you. As long as you're not submitted to God, that means you don't have really, you're ineffective. Because you're not dying to Christ Meaning the Holy Spirit then can't be free to use you the way God wants to because you're in the way. Satan knows that. And he just wants to keep you separated from God any way that he can. So if we submit to God, we resist the devil, he will flee from you. And then it goes on and says, you draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, he draws near to you. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. I thought you said God's always present. He's not distant. He's not. But when it says he draws near to you, what it means is when you submit to him and you draw near to him, it opens your spiritual eyes to see how close he really is. And he's never left. He's always there. But the fleshly nature, the sinful nature, will keep us from seeing him and hearing him because we're too focused on the distractions. So praise is so important. Praise is so important. And to not give him praise does just the opposite. We'll see far from him. He'll seem very far from us. He's not, but he'll seem that way because we're not drawing near to him. And instead of desiring to be in his presence, we find ourselves complaining and grumbling against him. That's the next step beyond if you're not praising God. First, it's focusing on the circumstances. Then the flesh rises up and you get angry. I don't deserve this. Really? According to Scripture, without Jesus, you deserve sin and death. I mean, you deserve death. That's your consequences. He's already delivered you from that. So why would you stand before a holy God, slap him in the face and say, I dare you give this to me or allow this to come to me. I dare you having me come through this. I'm a believer. I deserve this. I deserve that. You don't deserve anything. He freely gave you what he gave you. Not because we deserved it. But we complain. We grumble. Now Philippians 2:14-15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. It says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's who we're called to be. Lights in the world. We're supposed to be shining. But if we're grumbling and complaining with each other, then we're not blameless, are we? Because there's no one blameless in an argument that won't end. There's not. I've sat through many, many situations where, well, they said this. They said that. Well, they, and they never, ever could come to the point where they weren't looking at the other person and never willing to look at themselves. There's no parties in a dispute where both are both perfect in their stand. Now, one could definitely be morally more right than the other. One could be, you could look and say, well, they shouldn't have done this. They shouldn't have done that. All of that's true. But that doesn't change the fact that we're all sinful beings and all of us find ourselves in disputes and arguments because of our fleshly nature and we're not willing to die to it. And one step of humility can end an argument a lot quicker than standing harder and harder against one another, and that then just gets buried. And 5 years from now, after all of this has been going on, it comes up again. And then they become triggers. They become triggers. In other words, this happens, boom, you go off. Because that's how you've learned to process it. God doesn't want us to bury it. God doesn't want us to create in within ourselves this aspect of bitterness. He wants us to forgive, and he wants us to walk in peace with one another as well as we're able. And some won't walk in peace. Well, that's between them and God, but you can still release them to him and not hold them accountable to your anger or your bitterness or your judgment. The world is watching, and we need to walk in praise. So putting these things into perspective and summarizing it up, there are blessings when we praise him, and there's consequences when we don't. Romans 1, the whole chapter, I encourage you to read it, gives a clear picture of what happens when we don't praise God. It's not a pretty picture. If we don't come to him with praise and thanksgiving, The next thing is we're grumbling and complaining. The next thing is we're denying. And at some point, you just turn your whole faith away and say, I don't believe anymore. And that's what the world is in right now. We can see the consequences of the lack of praise and thanksgiving to God in every cultural movement today. Every single one of them. I don't care what it is. They're all rooted in anger and emotion, bitterness, selfishness, self-centeredness, and they refuse to acknowledge God. They refuse to praise God, and they refuse to give Him honor and glory and come with them with a heart of praise and thanksgiving. So therefore, they're turned over. Eventually, it says they're turned over to a reprobate mind. And you can see even in Scripture what that looks like in our culture today. Denying God, not giving Him praise, not coming to Him with thanksgiving. Personally, I want to be on the praise side and the thanksgiving side, because that brings peace, not the other side that brings anger and bitterness and confusion. And it also causes people to believe the lies that Satan feeds them. See, when you're not praising God and you're not thankful, you'll believe that lie when it comes your way. God doesn't care about you. If He's even real, why would He care about you? Look at what. And then here's what Satan will do. Is he makes you doubt God. Then he makes you blame God. Then he makes you deny God. And then he plays on all that and says, oh, well, if He was real, He'd never take you back now. Look at you denied Him. And he plays on every aspect of the mental, fleshly nature. And it's a horrible circle and a horrible cycle that we go through. But that's who Satan is, and that's what he does. But on the other side of that, God is who God is. And God is a God who receives the praise. God is a God who receives honor. God is a God who then blesses those who bless Him. God is a God who is in relationship. And God is a God that will bring you that peace and give you everything you need. And that's why we need to be praising Him. And we need to share that praise. And so that's why we're going to do what we're going to do this morning. So Johnny, if you want to come on up. Again, the microphone is here. So you'll come to the microphone right down front. If you have something you want to share, don't feel like you have to, but I want you to feel welcome to. If you have a praise report, if it's simple as God has just really brought me into this place of peace in the midst of what I'm going through, we want you to share that. If it's something more specific, we want you to share that. I'll open with just a couple of little things. For me, one of the things here is the lease on this building. Last year, as we got ready to sign the lease, the landlord was very, I can go back and pull up the email, but it was almost belligerent in some ways. He made it very clear that the lease was non-negotiable, number one, which we kind of understood that. They don't ever negotiate once they got you. But the second thing was, he said, look, the owner's not going to want to go year to year anymore with you guys. And he wants to eliminate the cap of them paying for anything in the building if anything goes wrong. And he's also undercharging. You know you're paying a lot less rent than anybody else in there. So these are the terms. If you don't like them, we'll schedule a walkthrough. Exit walkthrough. That was last year. So Johnny and Jack and I prayed about it, and we signed the lease. Well, this year, he reached out to us. We've been praying because we've been looking. We've been walking and looking. I have been in this county and in this city looking for places now for 6 or 8 months. We do that every year just to see what might be opening up when the lease is over. We like to be prepared. It's not that we're trying to find something that God doesn't want us to have, but we want to make sure that we're doing our part to see if there is anything. And then we pray over it. And the two or three things actually came up, but God wasn't in it. One, I thought, man, this was so perfect. Oh, it'd be awesome. But they decided not to release the building. They were going to sell it. And it was way outside of a price that we could afford. So that was that. Another one, same thing. I mean, just things open up and look at. But this time, the landlord emailed me. I didn't have to reach out to him. And it was actually earlier than normal. Normally, this comes around late August by the time he reaches out. And he just in his email, he just said, hey, you guys interested in another year to year? Let me know.
So we said yes. We prayed about it again, and he came back, did not do any of the things he had said in the previous email last year. It was just simple. It was a rate increase, which we expected. But even in that, it wasn't what I expected. I expected with the economy the way it is, that it would have been up $500-$600 a month. It didn't go up near that much. God blessed it, touched his heart and my mind and my heart, and said, this is where I'm going to keep you for another year. So we've signed the lease. We're here for another year. That's a blessing, and I praise God for it. Because he changed the heart, I believe, of the landlord. There was no discussion. It was just, boom, he just offered, and that was that. And so that's a blessing. So that's a praise. We can praise God for those things. Now, I'm going to share a praise report from a couple other people that aren't here today. But we're going to open it up. So if you have a praise report, you can come down and come down to the microphone, because we want to make sure that the ones online get to hear this. Because, again, they need to hear our praises. I know they have praises that we can't hear. And honestly, if you're online, I don't know. There's Norman. I don't know if you have your phone with you, but a lot of times we ask people to send us praise reports or questions on our Wednesday. So, hey, if you're online and you have a praise report and you want to send it to Norman, send it, and we'll read it. So here we go.
Hi. My name is Anna, and my praise report is, one, I praise God for today, my 70th birthday. I've been here on this earth 70 years. And also to praise him for always having his hands on me since I was very young. I've been walking with the Lord now, searching him for years and years and years, since I'm in my 20s. And sometimes when we're in the faith so long, we walk so long, we don't realize how many people we touch. And I want to say hello to Maritza, Daisy, and Josie. And these are three people that are in my story. So, 2 years ago, my cousin, was it two? No, it's 3 years now. My cousin Maritza had to leave because her daughter was having a child and she needed her mom to help her. And we were all bummed out. Why is Maritza leaving? We don't want her to leave. But we didn't realize that God was going to use her. So I've shared with my cousin my faith for years. And sure enough, when she went to stay with her daughter, she started sharing her faith with her daughter. Well, I'm happy to say last year her daughter got baptized. And I was sharing with my friend Josie the story about Janine getting baptized. And I said, and guess who she got baptized by? And she says, who? I said, Jonathan Kahn. She goes, wow. I said, yep. She says, you know, Anna, In a way, she's your fruit because her mother was your fruit. I'm like, wow, never thought about that. So you never realize the people, you know, that you touch. And who knows how many other people I've touched. I don't know. Maybe when I go to heaven, I'll see them. I'll meet them. Or, you know, we'll see. But I just want to praise God. I thank him for my husband. We celebrated last night. And I just, my daughter thought she was going to sneak in today, but my camera on my in my house on the bell, you know, the doorbell, showed that she showed up. So she ruined her surprise, because now I know she's there waiting for me. So she just came in from New York. So I just want to also thank all of you. I love this church. I love our pastor. I love his wife, Jennifer. It's been a really different church because it's very small. I've always been in large, large churches where you can hide out, you know? But here, you can't hide out. And I'm so happy that I've met so many of you. And I say that many of you are my friends. Thank you.
Good morning again.
Morning.
I had three praise reports. Now I actually have four. I got up this morning and said, God, what can I do today? Well, he just allowed me to do something. And I'm thankful for that. But in consideration of time, many of you know I've had a lot of heart troubles over the years. And so I finally went to the doctor and kind of find out, you know, and did all these tests, and it come back better than it was 10 years ago. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Awesome.
But also in April, we found out that my wife Maria, her company is shutting down. And of course, if you know, that's a major blow. And not necessarily as much financial as it was the fact that she was upset. So I told her, you won't find a person in the Bible, with exception maybe Jesus himself, who didn't hit the panic button when something happened. Don't take up residence there. So we prayed through it, and one night I was downstairs, and I was thinking, I think that God's fixing to do something great, something wonderful. Now, when you get that kind of feeling, you think in the next 10 minutes something's going to happen. Not always. But no. She kept on applying for jobs, doing resume, and seemingly nothing. In the midst of this, my youngest daughter, who'd been in the company for a number of years, they come to her and said, well, business is not good. We've got to eliminate your job. Wow. And I said, my next? But anyway, here we go through this, you know. And so we prayed, and we continue to pray. Make a long story short, both of them got a job offer, making substantially more than they were to start with better benefits. So, I mean, I thought, Lord, you know, did I get worried? Yes. Did I get concerned? I did. Did I have my moments? Yes, I did. But I also knew through this that, God, you've got this. I know you well enough to know, and I've seen you work in my life enough to know that you're going to see us through, and at the end, it's going to be better than it was at the beginning, and so shall it be. Both of them start their new jobs in the morning.
All right.
I'm Lance, and I'm the guy whose voice usually cracks like he's 12 years old in men's prayer, so hopefully I can speak. I want to first say that a lot of people prayed for me. Thank you. Real difficult situation with work. I'm closing my company down, but a position opened up for me. I have a job next week. So I'm very grateful for that, and I'm grateful for everybody that prayed for me. Grateful to be here with all of you on Sundays when I am. I feel very much at home and feel the presence of the Lord. In my life, someone that I prayed very hard for who has social anxiety has asked Pastor Grady to baptize him. That's a blessing. I prayed for someone who's very lonely, and I could see that, to find companionship, and I see that happening for them and for another person that's very lonely. And I've seen healing take place within my own family, and that's a process, just as I'm a process. But I've, through prayer and attending church, I've been able to let go of some things that I didn't really completely realize still had a hold on me, and things are getting better. Maddie asked me this morning, how are you doing? I said, great. I am. If I look nervous now, I just don't like speaking in front of people. But bless you all. Thank you so much, and thank you, Christ.
Amen.
First of all, I want to tell you, I tell you this once a year. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have no idea the blessing that you all are, both you here, especially my brothers and sisters. You know my mission. You pray for me. You follow me. You help me, just as the Lord has intended for us to do. The Lord, when Pastor was speaking, gave me this little prayer, which I would like to share with you. You know the way the Lord has had me write things. So the prayer is called Praise. Perhaps I have been remiss, Lord. I know I surely have. But I pray now that thou will accept my humble, heartfelt praise. Remembering that thou hast loved me first, I offer thee my humble thanks and praise, and to thee all glory reigns. Accept my humble offering, O my God divine, as all my deeds are valuable only when I acknowledge they are thine. I have been forgiven, Lord, and by thy loving will and thine. In grace I joyfully praise thee, O my loving God divine. Secure in thy own omnipresence and thy omnipotent power, this day I offer thee thy just due praise and homage. Empires in their glory are pale compared to thee, as a lighted match to the sun. Thus all praise and glory, God, I give to thee. God bless you. Amen. All and all who love. Any sober guy I know that walks like he's drunk.
Since I'm up here, I might speak. But I just thank the Lord and praise the Lord for this this lighthouse here. Mm-hmm. And God's put us here for a purpose, and I believe one of those purposes is to teach us to be servants.
All right. Get close. Thank you very much. But yeah, to be servants and stuff, and we got to experience that today. To show Jesus' love to others. And I mean, even when we was walking down the road, me and Danny and stuff, God put a fella in our path who needed some of that servant love. And we were able to provide that, and we prayed over him. And that's just a blessing. I do have a praise for our daughter Jennifer. I was watching, and she says, I have a disability that sometimes discourages me, but the Lord gave me an amazing papa who loves me and helps encourage me in the harder times. I also praise the Lord for my mama because of or her heart a very beautiful singing voice. Mm-hmm. And she's been having some hard, difficult times at work. And so we've been praying for that situation. The very next day, this is all in God's timing, the very next day, the lady that, the person that they were having, she was having difficult times, started to turn around and looking out for her and being sensitive to her needs. And even the devotional, I sent her devotionals and stuff like that, even all that connected and everything. It's just a beautiful thing how Holy Spirit connects everything together, all the pieces, even when we don't see it. And God's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nathan. Hi. It's a miracle that I'm up here. I'm very introverted, and this is not natural for me to also praise God for giving me the courage to even do this. I know a lot of y'all probably know me as pretty quiet, kind-hearted, good-natured, and it's just not who I really am. You know, God gave me an amazing family. That showed me God, and I'm a very mean person. I'm very cruel, and when I was younger, I was with a girl, and one of my friends tried to get her to run away with him, and. He came to school the next day after my girlfriend rejected him, and he took about 20 pills, I don't know what, but he tried to kill himself. And obviously I was emotional. I typed out about a two-page message of saying how he should have killed himself, mm-hmm. and I wish that he had died. And after I wrote it, I decided to just go to sleep before I sent it. And when I woke up and completely deleted it and told him how much I loved him and I'm glad he's all right. And that wasn't me. Mm. And that was God's hand on me. Mm-hmm. So I give no credit to myself. I've reached a point where, I knew God. I was a Christian. The relationship was not there, but I reached a point where I'd close my eyes and I'd see hellfire. I got to the point where I was happy with the idea of people burning in hell, and I knew that the fate for myself was burning in hell myself. And at some point, just overnight, that all changed, and that mm-hmm. part of me died. And praise God for that, and mm-hmm. praise God for the support of my family and everything. Anyway, that's how I led to share that, the hand of God on my life, and He's capable of anything. It's very amazing the ways that He works in. Mm-hmm. So praise God. Mm-hmm.
Goodness of God, I will
the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. It's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
I wanted to give you guys a praise report for Tom. Mm-hmm. I was hoping they might could be here this morning, but unfortunately they couldn't. But Tom, you know, has been battling with cancer. He's also been battling with Alzheimer's and different things along that line. But the last month and a half, he's been really, they've been seeking answers, because after he had some colon surgery, and then after he had repair colon, after they took the colostomy bag and all of those things, or ostomy bag in his case, he all the reconstruction, but they said that they still found blood, or in his blood, a cancer. So they've been waiting and trying to get tests done, and it's just been a real struggle to get to the point where they can get any answers. And so last week they went, he's had a PET scan, he's had a CAT scan, they've done all kinds of different things, and they are not seeing any cancer anywhere, in his colon or anywhere else they're looking. So they still have to go through the whole blood thing, but you know, my prayer is that the blood was wrong, that they just misread or some faulty reading or whatever. That happens all the time. So that's my prayer. But at the same time, he is excited. You know, when you get to hear in the voice of someone who's going through this, because this has been ongoing now for quite a while. I said the last couple of months. That's just after the whole process of his diagnosis. I mean, there were many things that happened to him during that time. That it's a miracle that God has kept him with us. So that's a blessing within itself. But the fact that that all the scans show no growth of cancer of any kind. So that's a blessing. So I wanted to share that with you on their behalf. And also Bruce had a really good, he's been waiting and trying to get these particular procedures done. Insurance fought him. He actually had to go to a court where a judge overruled the insurance company. That's a praise report. Wow. Right there. To where they would force to pay for the procedure because they refused. Wow. They finally got the procedure done. He's been in massive pain in his back, debilitating pain, and that's why he's not with us a lot. But at one point, you know, he was going, and the procedure didn't work. Another procedure didn't work. This procedure is showing great promise. It has reduced his pain level quite a bit. There is a second part of this procedure that they're scheduling to do, and that will also benefit. So he's hoping to get that pain from a 10 down to, with some medication, down to possibly around a 3 or 4, which will give him functionality back. And so it's a praise to God that that all of these things, it's been a struggle, but God is with him and has been with him. So that's a praise I wanted to share with you guys as well, for those who aren't here. So do we have another? Okay.
It's me again. I brought a gentleman in a wheelchair today. His name is Matthew. And he sent this by way of his testimony. He says, "My name is Matthew, and I'm at your church right now. About 30 minutes ago, I had a stroke, and I'm in a wheelchair. And I just got released from Redmond Rehabilitation Center, where the rehab is going good. And he thanks God for that. And he had reached out to me as I am as a pastor, as those of you in this particular church knows, of the homeless. And he reached out to me and he says, you know, I heard you talking about Jesus. I heard you talking about how he creates miracles. I would like to go with you. And that's how he came to be here. Praising the Lord creates grace. We must always remember that there are gifts that the Lord gives us that we don't even realize we have. So we should always, no matter how tough life gets, we should always be in praise.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Just like that, there's a little song. It only takes a spark to get a fire going.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to be sparks. Pass the flame. And when you're available to God and open for him to touch people's lives, it's a blessing. And actually, you're going to experience that it's really not you. It's his hand reaching through you. And so this has just been awesome. Marcia Gandhi?
Excuse me?
Praise report?
No, thank you. Oh.
And then I want to say one more thing. And my sister Debbie, she watches the live stream. And she was living here in Cartersville. And so she wanted to move back up to Michigan. I thought she was nuts. But she wanted to move back up to Michigan. But it's been a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she watches the live stream. And she even purchased a Bible for she can follow along. So God uses everything. God uses technology. He uses us.
Mm-hmm.
Just be available.
Amen.
Anybody else? Come on today. I know Greg, you over here singing.
Oh, Eddie's
going to
pack a lunch.
Oh. Need a whole meal.
My name's Eddie. I'm Anna's husband. And I'm thankful that the rocks don't got to cry out today. And this song, he says,
yeah.
He's always faithful. Because he is always faithful. We're not always faithful, but he is always faithful. And his goodness and his kindness and his gentleness and his faithfulness. He is just. For all those that you are here, you could be anywhere else today.
Mm-hmm.
But you were drawn here to this place. And I could go on and just, and I don't want to go on and ramble. But I want to go and I just want to tell you some simple truth. Because he is faithful. There was a time in my life that there was 300 of the guys that I served with that crossed a minefield and not a scratch got on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living proof of that because he's faithful. I was in a hospital for in ICU for 15 days. The doctor says he's not going to make it.
Yep.
They told our church he's not going to make it. Well, I'm here. I made it. There was a scripture that says that there's a living water. If you drink from this living water, you shall thirst no more. And I stood on that. And I told these folks, these doctors and these nurses, I said, the God that I serve is going to heal me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to walk out of this place.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I got to looking back on things and then seeing how all these other doctors were coming around and saying, well, this guy's not dying.
It's true.
This guy's getting better.
Because
I knew if I would have stayed in that bed, and as weak and as sick as I was, if I'd have stayed in that bed and I would have went on that ventilator, I would not have been here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had me on a lot of oxygen, which I still have some effects of today. But I walked out of that place. Mm-hmm. And I give him the praise and the glory and honor for it. You know, that we look at things, and Grady kind of stole my thunder earlier. He's talking about going through the valleys. Well, he's the same God in the valley that he's on the mountaintop. Well, we go through valleys, and then there's at times in our lives that we're on the mountaintop, but we don't stay there because there's another valley coming. And you continue to walk. And there's an old song that says that you can't even walk without holding my hand. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I cling to that. Hey, I can't do anything, but I can do all things through Christ who lives through me.
Amen.
I have a friend that we serve together. He's been battling ALS for the last couple of years, 3 years maybe now. And I FaceTime him every week because I love him. We've been friends a long time. And now, just a week ago, he lost all mobility in his legs. So now he is confined to a wheelchair. And but to see this man where we worked together, we played ball together, and to see what this disease is taking a toll on. But the reason that I want to encourage him, for no matter what he's going through, he's not in it alone. And I tell him all the time, hey, brother, I love you, and I'm in this battle with you. You're not walking alone. And I look at the fact that the lives that other folks that is in his same condition, because he has to go to the VA, and I thank you that the VA has really took good care of him, mm-hmm. very good care of him. I'm thankful for that. And but the lives, and he stays upbeat because his mind and his clarity, he's still as sharp as a tack. Yeah, he may have some muscle issues, some things where he's not as mobile anymore. But I said, you know, you're an electrical wheelchair. You got some mobility, but your mind and your mouth, you still have control over that. And the lives that you're going to touch is phenomenal, that people are going through the same thing. And that you're that upbeat voice to them. And he says, you know, I never thought about it that way. He says, you're right. And he calls me his minister. but we do go through things. And but we're not alone. And getting back to your point, that God is sovereign, that he did. He spoke everything in creation. He spoke it into very existence. And if we look at the fact that if we were one degree, one way or the other, that we'd either freeze to death or we'd burn up. He placed us precisely where it should be. And everything that's around it, he created the stars, he created the moon, he created everything. And it really flabbergasted me that, what's that old saying, is that you can't see the forest for the trees, but if you look hard enough, you'll see it. His creation, not what man created, what he created. How about the very air that we breathe? How about the food that we eat? How about the water that we drink? Yeah, it's trying to be destroyed now, mm-hmm. by the evil and the wickedness of those in this world that are trying to destroy it. I don't think he's going to let it happen. Mm-mm. And we need to pray for them. Because all the evil and wickedness that he turns out, what was meant for evil and wicked, that he turns out for the good. Mm-hmm. And you look at your worst situation and look at where he brings you through. He'll bring you through that situation, and when that door closes, he'll open up a door better than what you just went through. There's hope. And the hope is Our hope is not in this world. It's not in the man, but it's in the Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
There's an old saying that I would rather stand with God than face the world than I would stand with the world and face God. Mm-hmm. Because the alternative is going to be very gloomy. And I just encourage you today that all your hope, all your trust, all your faith is in Him and Him alone. That He loved us enough that He came and took on flesh and He walked this earth and He gave His very life, that He shed His blood on the cross. Because without that, there's nothing that we could do. We would all be hell bound. But because He did that, that He reconciled us back into His righteousness, that He made a way when it seemed gloomy. It seemed it was over. But no, He made a way. And every emotion and every pain that you feel or you have felt, He's felt it also. And so this hope today, I hope this brings this encouragement to you, that you have the hope, and the hope is in you. In your God.
Amen. Amen.
Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me. In Jesus' name.